Well, thanks again for having us. It's really nice to be here in person. There was a little patch there where we couldn't come even if we wanted to. So it's just really nice to be here together. So let's pray as we look at Psalm 100. Our Father God, we thank you for your word to us, and we especially thank you for the book of Psalms. They open a window into the hearts of your people and how they relate to you, and they can help us to understand how we can open our hearts to you and relate to you. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts as we consider this Psalm 100, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A psalm for giving grateful praise. And if it's possible to put the words back up on the screen, that might be helpful. Thank you very much. That was very quick. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. So as we start reading Psalm 100, it's pretty obvious that the writer is feeling happy, joyful, you know, overflowing with joy and praise. Can you relate to that feeling? I remember feeling like that in December late last year. It was about 8 a.m. It was a pretty sunny day, but not too hot. The training centre, the MAF training centre, was a hive of activity. All the rooms were being used by students at various parts of their training. Everyone had been on time. All the aircraft were working. These things make me happy. The main group of students had passed their exams, so their seven, you know, commercial pilot license exams. They would finish them all, and we had about 2 or 3 week window for them to finish off their solo flight hours before their big final commercial license test. That was going to be enough time. In fact, it was plenty of time. Everything was looking really nice. And that wasn't because we'd had a perfect problem-free year. Flight training tends to be pretty complex, so there's lots of different variations and things along the way with weather and, you know, people sometimes don't do something as well as they would have liked the first time or whatever. We need to work on it. But we'd managed all those variations really well, and so we shepherded everybody so they were just ready on time for test week. Two of the students were in an application process to join Mission Aviation Fellowship. So I had this deep feeling of satisfaction. This had been a really good year, probably the best year of training at the centre I can remember, and we did a really good job, and I felt like shouting for joy. So how about you? Are you coming to church this evening, you know, feeling like that? If you are, that's wonderful. I think there's some really helpful wisdom about feeling joy and being joyful in this Psalm 100 that we'll go and have a look at. But I wanted to start by saying if you aren't feeling that way, that's okay too. So this psalm is not encouraging us to put on a mask and come to church and pretend everything's okay, or to say that Christians have to be joyful all the time or anything like that. If anything, the Psalms teach us, I think, that people have and experience a wide range of emotions. I made a little list. Let me read them to you. In the Psalms, we can find fear, discouragement, happiness, loneliness, sadness, trust, doubt, oppression, faithfulness, anger, resentfulness, and more. There's just heaps of emotions captured in the Psalms, and it's a record of people coming to God in the midst of any or all of those things. So let's read on and see what we can learn tonight about being joyful. Verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." So this is one of those verses I get really tempted to skip over. Of course the Lord is God. Of course he made us. Of course there's a created order. Of course we belong to him and that we're like sheep in his pasture being provided for. I get that. Move on. That's my temptation. But why do we find in this psalm, in the midst of joy, why is it important to affirm this? I think that the writer puts this in because people are susceptible to the opposite, which is forgetting that the Lord is God. Forgetting my place as a created being. Forgetting that I belong to a master who's looking after me in his pasture. Actually, if I'm honest, I don't really like being referred to as a sheep. Has anybody ever had anything to do with sheep? Right? Like, they're actually renowned for being pretty stupid animals. I like to think I'm a bit more clever and independent than that. Did you notice my pride when I recounted the situation that made me feel so joyful just before? I'll just quote the end of what I said. And so I had a deep feeling of satisfaction. This had been a really good year of training, probably the best I can remember. We did a really good job. I felt like shouting for joy. So the sad thing is I wasn't being clever. I didn't write that retrospectively to make a point or anything like that. Actually, I was just working through thinking about Psalm 100. And I was a bit convicted, actually, by verse 3. Humans, certainly I, am at the risk of forgetting God when things go well. We're at risk of forgetting God when things go well. We can see that cycle in the Old Testament with the Israelites. So God rescues his people and they follow him and worship him and things go well for a while, and then they begin forgetting God and things start to go badly. And then they cry out to God to rescue them, and of course he rescues them again, and the cycle goes on. We're at risk of forgetting God when things go well. God says to us, in the midst of our joyful gladness and praise, know that the Lord is God. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. It makes sense, I think, that thanksgiving flows out of knowing that the Lord is God, right? To say thank you is evidence that you know that that you didn't just achieve something by your own cleverness. By saying thank you, we're acknowledging that actually God was at work. Thanksgiving acknowledges that God is the real power behind the good things that we see. In this verse, thanksgiving is connected with entering God's presence. I think this, for the psalmist, that was probably going to a physical place like the tabernacle or the temple. But for us, we enter God's presence, I guess, any time that we come before him in prayer. It doesn't matter where we are. We can do that anywhere. Maybe thanksgiving helps us to soften our hearts when we come before him in prayer. Certainly choosing to give thanks helps us, I think, overcome our natural tendency towards pride. I went back and rewrote the end of my previous joyful description the way I should have written it the first time. And so I had a deep feeling of gratefulness. God has clearly been working through the training centre this year. He's protected us from COVID shutdowns. He provided us with staff and aircraft. He's answered our constant prayer to help us make wise decisions in managing the day-to-day operations. I feel like shouting for joy, thank you, God. That's really how I should have written it the first time. We don't need to limit expressing thankfulness to times when we're feeling joyful or joyous. In fact, choosing to be thankful in difficult circumstances can be the pathway back to joyful praise. I'll just say that again. Choosing to be thankful in difficult circumstances can be the pathway back to joyful praise. I've got two examples to share about that. The first one is from a lady called Corrie ten Boom. Has anyone ever heard of her? A few? If you haven't ever heard of her, you've got to get her book and have a read. It's pretty encouraging. Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were in a communal bedroom in a concentration camp in World War II. They were feeling nauseous, and the reason was because the straw, which was supposed to be their bedding, was putrid. And they were wondering how they were supposed to live in that place that they just arrived at when they realised that it was also infested with fleas. Good times. So when they were trying to figure out how to live there, it was actually Betsy who remembered something that they'd read that morning, which was from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." So they determined that they would give thanks. And at first, Corrie wasn't sure she'd be able to find anything for giving thanks, but Betsy actually helped her to realise they could give thanks for being together. They could give thanks for the Bible that they'd managed to smuggle in there to keep reading. They could even give thanks for the fleas, thought Betsy, but Corrie wasn't so sure. Well, actually, they realised in the end they could give thanks for the fleas because of them, the guards weren't coming into their bedroom area, so they had relative freedom. So they were even able to give thanks for the fleas. So on reflection, Corrie ten Boom writes this about that experience. As we focus on the Lord's blessings, we will be heartened and enabled to persevere through life's discouragements and will never fail to appropriately honour God by thanking him for his ever-present blessings. The second example I wanted to share about Thanksgiving being a pathway back to joyful praise actually comes from Melburnians. So we, about a year ago, were meeting with small groups online because they were meeting on Zoom anyway, and we thought, well, we'll catch up with everyone. So we went around and visited a bunch of small groups. And over again, we were struck by the way that Christians in lockdowns made a point of being thankful to God for various aspects of lockdown. We heard people saying thanks to God for the technology that enabled them to see other people's faces and to have those meetings. We saw people being thankful because they saw families walking outside with their kids and they had never seen that before in their streets. We saw people being thankful for just the general slowing down of the pace of life at times. So we were encouraged by that. We were encouraged by the way that Christians in lockdown were continuing to choose to give thanks. It was very encouraging. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Can I ask you to just turn to the person next to you and just tell them, "The Lord is good and his love endures forever." Shoot. His love endures forever. I mean, what a great statement of assurance that we can be reminding each other of. Isn't that wonderful? The hope of the psalmist, the reason for being joyful and full of thanks and praise, is not just the good things he's giving thanks for around him, but also God himself. Specifically, the psalmist here refers to God's faithfulness, meaning that God keeps his promises to his people, promises of a hope and a future. And I cannot read verse 5 without thinking of Jesus. Jesus, the ultimate demonstration of God's faithfulness. Jesus, who is the pinnacle of God's love demonstrated for us. Jesus' willingness to give his life on the cross that makes us totally secure in God's love. Not dependent on ourselves, but dependent on him, with a sure hope of a future. So, what do we take away from this? First of all, it's an encouragement, I think, to continue being a people who are in the habit of giving thanks to God. And I have to say, since I've worked through this and become a little bit convicted, like I said, particularly by verse 3, I've noticed that I think the Spirit's been prompting me a bit more to be thankful for things. And let me tell you, it's just a good way to live, being thankful for the things that God has put around us. And there's lots of them when you start looking for them. So let's choose to be a people who are in the habit of giving thanks. Let's be careful to give thanks when things are good so that we don't become proud and forget God. Let's choose to give thanks when it's hard, focusing on his blessings to help us persevere. And let's never stop praising God for rescuing us through Jesus so that we have a certain, so that we know we have a certain future with him. Will you join me in prayer just as we close? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our good shepherd who cares for us and provides for us in every way. And we're sorry for when we've forgotten to thank you for the good things that you surround us with and bless us with. But we thank you too for your endless well of forgiveness. Thank you that our hope for the future depends on you and is therefore totally secure. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, which lives within us and works to mend our hearts. And we pray that you would prompt us by your Spirit to notice the blessings that you surround us with and to bring you honour and glory by our joyful praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.